Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. Dropkick Murphys have long been one of my most favorite bands. And when you get to interview the lead singer of one of your most favorite bands, that's really, really cool, especially since they're going to be in our region tomorrow night. On their recent 2022 album, This Machine Still Kills Fascists, Dropkick Murphys crafted an entire record around the seminal American folk icon Woody Guthrie, bringing perennial jabs at life, many of which are from the 40s and 50s, into the present, with the resulting music eerily relevant to today's world. Their most recent album, Okima Rising, is the second installment of that collaboration, and the band looks to raise consciousness as well as the roof.
Come on, you friends and workers, I tell a tale to you of how we built a union you call the NMU. We fought the goons and gun thugs around the ocean shore.
Dropkick Murphys will go acoustic and headline Fresh Grass at Mass Mocha on Saturday night in North Adams. Ken Casey is the frontman of the Dropkick Murphys, and it is more than a little thrilling to welcome him to the Roundtable this morning. Ken, thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. Great to be here. Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
So I'm interested in what brought you to the project initially. Was it always your intention to have two?
No, not at all. Actually, we had no idea really what was going to come to the project, because we didn't really start to work on how we would shape the songs until not long before we recorded it, but it came together really quick. I think we envisioned that we'd probably do an album and have some extras, and whether they were going to be B-sides or whether we'd come back to them, later, we weren't really sure, but they kind of ended up being 22 songs. So we did 10 on each with the bonus track for the vinyl on each. And as they were coming together, we kind of thought that they were almost like sifting into two different groups stylistically, if that makes any sense. And we, about three quarters into the album, started to kind of plan on how we were going to separate the songs, you know.
The new album, the Okima Rising, came out in May of this year. The other one came out last year. And when you look at this project in its totality, it's different for you all, and yet it so seems to be in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, well, I think we've always obviously come from a similar spot as Woody, you know, social consciousness wise and politically speaking. And then we've always had, you know, because of the Irish folk influence, we've always had those moments on albums or in during sets where we would kind of strip down to not much. And we've always kind of played with the Americana side of things that influences us too. I mean, if you really look at our second most popular song, Rose Tattoo, you know, if you didn't know who the band was, and, you know, didn't have your preconceived notions, I mean, you would think that was, you know, coming out of a band that was a little more from the Americana or countryside of things than Dropkick Murphys. You know?
Some may be from showing up, others are from growing up. Sometimes I was so messed up and didn't have a clue. I ain't winning, no.
When you look at setting these and working on these, I assume it was always the intention to do it acoustically.
Yeah, because, you know, we've used, collaborated with Woody's lyrics, you know, in the past, you know, 20, almost 20 years ago now. And we did them electric, you know, just on the two songs we did before, which were I'm gonna Be a Blackout and Shipping Up to Boston. So we figured, let's stretch our wings a little bit, and let's also do this, you know, to a little bit more pay homage to Woody. I mean, it's not like we stripped it down to nothing. Obviously, I was actually pleasantly surprised that even though it was fully acoustic, how much kind of power we were able to generate out of the album.
Right. But
at the same time, we knew that we were making things harder on ourselves, not easier, you know. But I think anytime you take the hot, I think anytime you take the harder route, it pays off, you know, in life and in anything you really set your mind. So, you know what I mean? As to,
yeah,
just saying, oh, let's stick with the formula, guys. You know, it just didn't seem like the right thing to do, you know.
You recorded the album in Tulsa, if I'm correct.
Correct. Yeah.
And why was that important?
Well, obviously Woody's archives and the museum is down there in Tulsa now. When we wanted to, just like there were some mornings, we just, like when we were getting coffee, we'd walk over and hang out. And, you know, you're looking at, you know, even just stuff like his artwork, and it just really kind of, you know, it may, inspired you, reminded you why you were there, what you were doing. And but also, you know, we were able to use Tulsa as a jumping off point to go out to Okemo, the town where Woody was born, and walk around there and play some music there. And you know, it just felt like it needed to be done in Oklahoma. I don't know why, but we just all kind of said, like, this is what we need to do, you know.
The idea of taking these previously unpublished lyrics and then setting them to your music, I'm curious as to what that process is like, and how you came across to say, okay, this is doing all of this justice.
Yeah, well, we take that very serious, and I think that you know, based on how much trust we've earned from the Guthrie family,
right,
they really know that we do give it the, you know, importance that it needs to do it justice. And you know, and I think Woody's daughter Nora knows our passion for, you know, not just for Woody and his lyrics, but also just for, you know, the topics he was singing about, you know. And then they all just seem so relevant in time, you know. It was like, you know, here we are, a guy that was writing songs about, you know, the fight for workers' rights and better pay in the 30s, when, you know, some of our most important gains were happening, you know, for instance, you know, the original United Auto Workers strike that really set the tone for so many other labor unions across the country to be able to scratch out their, you know, equitable pay and pensions and things like that. And now here we are, you know, come forward, you know, almost a century, and we're having to refight that battle again. You know, the division in wealth might even be greater than it was back then. And so from that aspect, it seems, you know, very important to be out there, you know, bringing Woody's message to life. And then you think about, you know, a lot of the other songs we were doing off the lyrics off this album. These albums were written in the 40s, and you know, and it was in the middle of World War II, and Woody's singing about fascism. And, you know, I think he'd roll over in his grave if he knew that, you know, now the fascism that we're singing about and fighting against, you know, is on our own doorstep. So we felt like it was important to, from the political side too, to get his message out there again.
You touched on this, but the album includes the Tulsa version of Shipping Up to Boston. How did that differ for you?
Well, just to do it fully acoustic. And we've played it acoustic at events or whatever, but we've done it just like the, just kind of like the electric version, but just done it with acoustics. And we kind of rearranged it and added in a little more to make it a little more low down dirty and just like, you know, give it the vibe that the rest of the record had, you know. That's a pretty kind of uplifting song when we played electric, and it's, I just wanted to make it a little more minory and creepy sounding and yeah, make it fit, you know. I'm shipping up to Boston. I'm shipping up to Boston. I'm shipping up to Boston. I'm shipping off to find my wooden leg.
So what can people expect? I've seen you perform many, many times. You're one of my favorite bands. I've never seen you acoustic. I'm interested in what that experience will be like.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not seven guys sitting on stools, you know, but it's not, you know, going to blow your ears out. We just kind of play like we normally would. We just don't have electric guitars, you know, and I think people might be, you know, surprised that we fit a little bit more than one would think in a mix of a crowd like this and musicians like this. And I think, you know, on a festival set, I don't know how much we'll do, but it was just nice. Like, we did this theater tour acoustic back in the fall, and it was nice to just kind of feel like you were more having like a conversation with the audience, and they could, you know, you weren't trying to pummel the audience. You were trying to just, you know, let them hear you, you know. And when I say let them hear you, I mean like everything, the quietest instrument in the bunch, not just attack the crowd, you know. And so it's similar but different, if that makes any sense. You know?
It makes great sense, because there is a sense normally when you play of that attack or that pummeling, as you call it, it's being overtaken, and yet here you're overtaken, but it's in a different, it seems like it would be in a different way and a bit more controlled.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I guess, you know what you hear more of the nuances,
right?
You know. And you know, you would certainly hear a lot more of the mistakes too. So you got to be good when you play acoustic.
Where do you go from here as far as with this project, and does this have an expiration date, and you'll go back to what you have done, or is this putting you on a new path?
No, our next record will definitely be electric and probably bounce back in a louder way than ever. But I do think that this is something that we would probably explore again down the road, whether it's, you know, with our own lyrics or more of Woody's, you know. I think it's a good, like, I don't know, you know, if you're going to do every fourth album, you're going to do this way, just to kind of give yourself. Yeah, but I also think it's a nice alter ego. I don't, you know, even if we don't record another acoustic album, I think I could see us doing another theater tour or playing on more of these bills with different people. Because one of the things that we haven't touched on that we love the most out of this whole experience is when we did the theater tour, we took a bunch of our original songs and reworked them into, you know, took out the bagpipes and put in a harmonica playing that melody and slowed it down a little. And, you know, the first song we ever wrote, Barroom Hero, was we really redid majorly different for this tour, you know, dobro guitar on it and everything. And people really loved it. You know, even on the electric tour, can you play that new version of that tonight? I don't want to play that tonight. But, but, you know, so it's nice that we were able to do that with a bunch of the old songs too, and really enjoyed that.
Dropkick Murphys will be headlining the Fresh Grass Festival at Mass Mocha on Saturday night in North Adams, Massachusetts. You can find out more information by going to freshgrass.com, freshgrass.com. Ken Casey, thank you so much for being with us. Have a great time in the Berkshires, and look forward to seeing the show.
We can't wait to be up there, and we can't wait to play this festival. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, you can see the Dropkick Murphys at Fresh Grass in North Adams on Saturday night, freshgrass.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
When I meet my true believer, when I kiss my heavenly angel, when my working folks take power, my eyes are gonna shine. My eyes are gonna shine, oh shine. My eyes are gonna shine. My eyes are gonna shine like diamonds. My eyes are gonna shine.
shine. My eyes are gonna shine.